Well, good afternoon to you. For those who haven't met me, my name is Max Cranch, and I'm a retired Anglican priest and live in this parish of St. Stephen's. My vicar is the Reverend Ian Harcastle, who's operating the sound system and the video today. So thank you, Ian. I assist him in services in the parish, and one of the things I do is once a month I've been going to the Peninsula Club, first Friday in the month. And anyone in the Peninsula Club has always been welcome to come to our service. And so Ethel and Rosemary have been coming for quite a long time, even before I took the services. So that's how I come to take the service today, because it was Rosemary's wish that I take the service. And we are very glad that we're able to have the service here. We'll begin the service by singing the hymn I will find on your service sheet, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Like to be seated, thank you. On behalf of Ethel and members of the family, I do welcome you here today. We are having the whole service here in the church, including the prayers that we would have at the crematorium. So we're having the whole service here in the church today. And after the service is over, on behalf of Ethel, you are all welcome to come into the hall and stay for a cup of tea. And there'll be a video of playing in the hall during that time. So thank you for coming to join us as we seek to support Ethel and the family by our presence and in our prayers. And so we've come together to remember before God the life of Rosemary, to commend her to God's keeping, to commit her body to be cremated, and to comfort the family and all those who mourn her loss today, with our sympathy and with our love, in the hope we share through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'd like to read to you Psalm 121. The family found this very helpful, the words that we have in the psalm. So I'll read it to you. I lift up my eyes to the hills, but where shall I look for help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. The Lord will not let your foot stumble. The Lord who guards you will not sleep. The one who keeps watch over this people shall neither doze nor sleep. The Lord is the one who will guard you. The Lord at your right hand will be your defense, so that the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. Yes, it is the Lord who will keep you safe. The Lord shall take care of your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. So glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Amen. I'd like to share with you some scriptures which helps at a time such as this, when we've lost someone we love, because these are the words of Jesus himself, as recorded, first of all, by John in the 11th chapter of his Gospel, verse 25. And so John has recorded these words of Jesus for us today. So Jesus says to us, I am the resurrection and the life. Even in death, anyone who believes me will live. And then reading in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus says today, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then that well-known verse from John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 16. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So therefore, although we've been parted from Rosemary, none of us need ever be separated from the love of God. So we just bow our heads in prayer for a moment. God, our Comforter, you are a refuge and strength for us, a helper close at hand in times of distress. Help us so to hear the words of our faith, that our fear is dispelled, our loneliness eased, and our hope reawakened. May your Holy Spirit lift us above our natural sorrow to the peace and light of your constant love, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're now going to keep a moment of silence. It's an opportunity for each one of us to make a personal thanksgiving to God for all that Rosemary has meant to us. We also remember Elizabeth, Rosemary's sister, who died some years ago. Father. We thank you that you have made each one of us in your own image and given us gifts and talents with which to serve you. We thank you for Rosemary, the years we shared with her, the good we saw in her, the love we received from her. Now give us strength and courage to leave her in your care, confident in your promise of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, you judge us with infinite mercy and justice, and love everything you have made. We rejoice in your promises of pardon, joy, and peace to all who love you. In your mercy, turn the darkness of death into the dawn of new life, and the sorrow of parting into the joy of heaven. Through our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who died, who rose again, and lives forevermore. Amen. I'm now going to invite Rosemary's brother, Brian, to come forward and share with us. Thank you, Brian.
Good afternoon. I'm, as mentioned, Brian and my sister Ellie. I've been asked to give a brief outline or paint a picture of Rosemary's life in the Brooke family before she moved to New Zealand, because Gary can follow on the second catalogue. Anyway, Rosemary was born on the 8th of June 1941, second eldest to Elizabeth, who is, as you heard, she's passed on, and then David, Elmer, and Brian. Rosemary was named by Mum despite some differing preferences by friends and family who had other ideas and names for her. Anyway, Rosemary was very gentle, very conscientious, and marvellously talented. Rosemary took to the arts, doing well at ballet and music. She was the family pianist, playing anything from Holy City to Afrikaans ballads. Dad fancied himself as a singer. This is our dad, obviously. He took regular singing lessons and frequently organised the family sing songs around the piano, which Rosemary then played. We were even made semi-famous by the local Cape Town newspaper, photographing our family sing songs with, you know, mum and dad and five kids around the piano. Ellie says she has a clear memory of Athol singing to Rosemary's accompaniment the song The Road to Mandalay. Well, we had a lovely family life. Dad was a businessman and Mom produced five children. So Dad was also very happy with that. Dad was born in New Zealand in 1884 and moved to Australia and then South Africa for business reasons. So Mom and Dad met in Cape Town and married despite a big age gap. I think it's 28 years if I can count properly. Dad was very happy with his large house and his large family. We were a happy family in a happy neighbourhood. Our back lawn was often the venue for various sports games amongst the neighbours. And we often went off for a family drives in Dad's Hudson motor car with five kids in the back seat and so much for safety and seat belts. I remember being the youngest and the smallest, I used to sit in the footwell of the floorboards. Rosemary took to the arts rather than sport. I think I can remember she might have played a couple of games of tennis, but that's about all. I don't have memories of her playing sport, but Rosemary had artistic talents and did very well at ballet and music. She frequently danced the leading role in local ballet concerts, and she was the pianist for our home sing songs. Rosemary made her own clothes, taught by Mum, And Ellie says she remembers Rosemary looking quite stunning in a lined suit she had made herself. And then our dad, being a lot older than Mom, he became ill with Alzheimer's, and which certainly turned life around a bit. And life became very demanding for Mom and the family. When he had Alzheimer's, it hadn't been diagnosed at that stage as to what it was, but he always wanted to go home. He would get up and walk out the house, and he wanted to go home thinking back of his home in Australia. And sometimes Mom woke up in the morning and there was no one in the bed next to her because Dad had gone off in the middle of the night and he had gone back to Australia. And he was found all over the place with the help of the local police. Anyway, with his loss of memory, Dad wanted to frequently go home, and this took a great effort of care from Mom. Mom frequently went to movies twice a day or would go looking for Dad, who had managed to get away unnoticed. Rosemary and Elizabeth frequently had to manage the dinners and getting naughty kids to bed, quite demanding for teenage girls. Rosemary became the ringleader of the Brook Circus, and it was quite demanding. She was doing her school studies during this time. Dad eventually died, and Mom had a tough time financially. She was acid rich and cash poor. The lovely big house, but no salary. We all squeezed into two bedrooms, and Mom and three girls in one bedroom and the two boys in the other. And this allowed Mom to accommodate lodgers in the three spare bedrooms. And this helped keep the ship afloat. Rosemary finished school with good grades and went to Teachers Training College to train as a teacher. In her third year, she was head girl of the training college. Rosemary became very involved with Schools and Varsities, which was a Christian-based organisation providing holiday and religious camps for young boys and girls. During this time, she picked up the nickname Bunty, and we're not aware of any connection to our dog, who was also named Bunty. I guess this is also the time when Rosemary began noticing some of the handsome young men in the local church, and lo and behold, she met up with Ethel. I'm not sure who met Ethel first, because he was my maths and science teacher. He taught me in 1961 and again in 1963. He must have liked me, or maybe he liked my sister more. But anyway, 1963 was a big year for Ethel and Rosemary, as they got married in March and in December migrated to New Zealand. Anyway, tons of love to my sister Rosemary. Thank you.
Brian has given an introduction to Mum's earlier life, and I'd like to continue the story. Over the last 20-plus years, Mum has had to deal with an increasing ill health to the point where just living took an enormous amount of effort for her. And it's therefore important for us to remember Mum in her younger years when she was vibrant and energetic and very busy. Mum was kind, she was caring, smart, thoughtful, and a very generous person. Full of love for her family. She was a leader with integrity and perseverance and creativity. She was highly empathetic, and in the midst of her own pain and suffering, was keenly focused on the needs of others. As Brian has mentioned, she was a qualified primary school teacher. Her appointment as head girl at Teachers College was a reflection of her leadership skills and the quality of character. Mum and Dad grew up just around the corner from each other. Dad was a bit older than Mum, and while he knew the Brook family, he recalls first really noticing Mum when he had helped out at a Methodist youth night, having recently come back from his OE overseas. He decided to ask Mum out on a date. Mum recalls that after the date, Dad was convinced he had found his wife. Shortly after they married, they immigrated to New Zealand for a 3-year teaching opportunity for Dad, and they never returned to live in South Africa. Mum found the early years in New Zealand challenging and lonely. Dad was busy teaching and writing his maths books. and she had limited local family support at that time. She worked for a number of years before taking a 14-year break from teaching to care for her family. She was a devoted mum. When Robin was 7, Mum returned to full-time work. She was a gifted and dedicated teacher and was able to bring out the best in her students. For many years, she focused on teaching special needs kids, a job that required considerable energy. She loved and cared for the children she taught. During this time, she also helped pioneer a modern charismatic worship service at Trinity Methodist and co-led the worship there for a number of years. Then she joined a new church plant, Pigeon Mountain Baptist, as a foundation member and contributed to that church for many years in worship, as a deacon, and as part of the church's pastoral team, providing emotional support for people who are sick or struggling. And since her death, we have heard from a range of friends and relations about their appreciation for the support that Mum has offered them at various times and the wise counsel she provided, often during times of struggle, and for some of them at the loss of their own parent. On top of this busy work and church life, she continued to run the household, caring for her growing family, keeping the house clean and tidy at all times. Mum was a creative cook. She introduced us to new and exotic foods, like lasagna. You may laugh, but at that time, the only Italian food that most people knew was Waddy's tin spaghetti. We took all of this for granted, and it's not been until later years that we realised how much Mum achieved at that time. Mum welcomed my girlfriend Christine, now my wife, into the family with open arms and became a second mum to Christine. Christine's admiration of Mum further opened my eyes to the quality of mother that I had. Mum loved her grandchildren dearly. They were very important to her, and she encouraged their various gifts, including developing an annual music award for all kids who had learnt further musical skills that year. She loved to hear the children perform their musical items at Christmas. At the end of the service, Leo, one of Mum's grandsons, will play one of Mum's favourite pieces as we take the coffin out. Underlying and supporting her throughout all the joys and challenges of her life was a vibrant Christian faith, which started in her teens and gave her the strength to do so much. Her brother David, a retired Anglican minister now residing in Scotland, has reflected that during his teens he very much appreciated her example of steadfast Christian faith and her encouragement. David is sadly not able to be here today due to his health. Mum was diagnosed with fibromyalgia over 20 years ago, which meant that she lived with constant pain and limited energy. This led to her retiring early from teaching. Mum continuously tried many different approaches and saw multiple physicians in an attempt to do whatever she could to improve her health. Unfortunately, the condition was relentless and meant that she needed to spend most of her days at home resting. Her health frequently prevented her from being with people or going to social events and doing many of the things she loved. In May last year, she was diagnosed with a scarring lung condition, thought to have developed from a reaction to feather pillows, probably as a result of all the hours she spent resting. When we first heard the diagnosis, it sounded bleak. But again, she adjusted her life to the situation, albeit now struggling with limited lung capacity. Recently, the condition deteriorated, although we didn't fully realise the extent. Through the latter part of her life, she endured one medical setback after another. She took around 40 pills every day, managing a complex array of medicines. Her life towards the end became very limited. Through it all, though, she exhibited great patience and unwavering faith while suffering. She complained very little, even when the circumstances in her life made her very depressed, and many were unaware of the extent of the challenges she faced. She often looked much better than she felt. She was taken into hospital a week ago as a result of low oxygen levels. I visited her at the start of the week, and we chatted about a variety of topics. A key focus for her was getting out of hospital. As usual, she had no complaints, was smiling and chatted despite the discomfort that she was in. She praised the medical care and commented on how much she enjoyed the chatter around from the surrounding patients. We were called into hospital the following day, the Tuesday, and told the shocking news that she may never leave hospital again. We called Robin in Tanzania and agreed she needed to come home. To Robin's credit, she received our call at 1 a.m. in the morning and by 6 a.m. had purchased tickets, packed bags, and she and her girls were in a taxi on the way to the airport. Immediately prior to leaving, Robin wisely sent Mum a voicemail message telling Mum of her love and saying she and the girls were coming home. When we played the message to Mum, she perked up and got quite excited, sending a message back to Robin. Likewise, when we told her that her sister Ellie and her brother Brian were coming to see her, she broke out in a delighted smile. Family was important to Mum. On Wednesday, we were initially told Mum had had a good night's sleep and that things were looking up, only to receive a call 30 minutes later telling us to get to the hospital urgently. When Mum passed away, she was surrounded by family who loved her and who cherished her. It all happened so fast, but we did get to tell her how much we loved her, what she meant to us, and more importantly, the value of the legacy that she was leaving. Each of my sisters and I directly see her handprint on our lives and on the successes that we have each achieved. She was such an important and key influence over each of us. We consider ourselves to be wonderfully blessed to have had her as our mum, and only regret that she did not have the physical body that would have allowed her to achieve all that she wanted and to her full potential. Over the years, Mum and Dad have drawn closer and closer together, and we are acutely aware of the wrench to Dad that this loss of Mum has created. Mum was his cherished wife and greatest friend. They journeyed through life together for 56 years. It is hard for us to accept the reality and finality of death. As my son Jacob has said, it's like a bad dream. We feel like Mum has gone through another difficult medical procedure, but will be back on the phone to us, talking about the quality of medical support she's received, whether the meals were any good, and then looking to support us all in the challenges that we are facing in life. If Mum was here today, she'd be the one encouraging and empowering each of us in our roles in the service, encouraging the skills and gifts of each family member, and then making sure everything looked just right. On behalf of my family, and especially Dad, I'd like to thank you all for joining us and today to reflect on Rosemary's life. And some of you, we acknowledge, have travelled some distance to be here. And I'd like to thank many of you for the support that has been provided to us. And over time, we'll be able to express our appreciation more personally. I'd like to thank Max for leading the service and for, even more importantly, for immediately responding to support us when Dad called him on the day Mum died. And I'd also like to thank Ian, the vicar of St. Stephen's, and his team for making the church available to us and for the support that they've provided to us. And we'd like to thank Terry for playing the organ today. Finally, I'd like to thank and acknowledge the medical team at North Shore Hospital, who used their expertise, their skills and their resources, and they worked hard to try and restore Mum's health, and for the exceptional skills they showed in delivering some really difficult messages to us, and supporting us as we questioned them, and as we came to terms with what was happening. I'd like to now hand over to my sisters to add their perspective.
As Gary's mentioned, Mum worked full-time as a teacher with both a chronically ill child and a husband who had a very demanding job. I therefore cannot understand how she was able to support me through all my childhood endeavours. I was blissfully unaware of the multiple pressures on her at the time. Remarkably, I was able to attend numerous extracurricular activities, from piano and violin lessons, gymnastics four times a week, tennis, ballet, and horse riding lessons, to name a few. She transported me around the country in the weekends to gymnastics competitions. Mum was so supportive of all my big decisions. She helped me apply to out of zone to a secondary school, as I didn't want to go to be a student of my father's school. Later, she supported me in my decision not to be moved to the top stream class there. I recently asked her what my reasoning was for this. Apparently, I had told her that the students in the stream class were eggs. Mum was beside me at my unsuccessful physiotherapy school interview, and then beside me at my medical school interview. At the age of 28, when I was struggling to give verbal presentations for my oral specialist exam, it was Mum's suggestion that I get some external assistance. She organised and took me to meet Toastmaster experts for training in public speaking. Mum subsequently escorted me to that oral examination in Tauranga, and while I sat the exam, she spent the entire 3 hours walking around the hospital grounds praying for me. Not surprisingly, I passed first time. My beautiful mother has had a challenging life and spent many years crippled by ill health. It is of great comfort to me that she is now free. When I think of her now, I'm reminded of the verse from Isaiah. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not faint.
I absolutely adore my mother. And today we publicly acknowledge and honour her. I want to touch briefly on the complexity of my mother. In some areas of her life, she had incredible strengths. She was fiercely intelligent, knowledgeable, determined, persistent, highly competent, insightful, faithful, considerate, compassionate, and generous. But in some areas of her life, she was also a little bit broken. A bird whose wings had been clipped. I will always have the utmost respect for my mother because she refused to let her own areas of brokenness be passed down the generations. What more can you ever ask of a person? When you see our family, you see Mum's legacy. She may have lived her life with clipped wings, but she taught us to fly.
Mum passed away at 2 p.m. last Wednesday. We are heartbroken, and it feels like there is a large hole in our family. But we know that she is now with her Lord and at peace, where her body will no longer limit her nor cause her pain. And we look forward to seeing her again fully restored. Mum has fought the good fight. She has finished the race. She has kept the faith. Now the prize awaits for her, the crown of righteousness that comes as a gift from God. She has the hopes of an eternity spent with her loving God, where there is no more sickness or pain or suffering or tears, but joy that lasts forever. We now have a video tribute from Mum's grandchildren.
A lovely lady was Nan. Of her, I am a great fan. She had lots of kind smiles and her love went for miles. Oh, I'm lucky that she was my gran.
We love you, Nan.
Thank you so much for being a great Nan. You were always there for us, and we were very lucky to have you. We love you so much.
We love you, Nan, and we'll miss you forever.
Goodbye.
Your hugs and smiles are beautiful in many ways. We miss you every day, but your love will always stay. You've always believed in our dreams. You're loving and kind, and when you think of love, you come to my mind.
You're a great Nan to all of us, and we'll miss you a lot.
You were generous, helpful, kind, lovely, and smart, with a warm smile.
Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
I'm Christine. I'm Gary's wife and Rosemary's daughter-in-law. I'm reading first from John chapter 14, verses 1 to 7. It's Jesus comforting his disciples before his death. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. My second reading is from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory.
Well, thank you, Christine. We now come to that part in the service where we pray for the family, and we pray especially for David in Scotland, as he's not able to be here with us. So I include him as I pray for the family. Let us pray. Let us pray that God will grant comfort to each member of the family today who have a gap in their lives with the loss of Rosemary. Maybe they be strengthened in our faith and our belief in eternal life. God, our loving Father, draw near to Azel and all who mourn today. Make your love known to them, that they may turn to you and receive comfort and strength. Help them to put their trust in you and their hope in your grace and compassion. Heavenly Father, use us as bearers of your love as we seek to support them in their grief. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And let us pray for a growing faith in Jesus Christ. God, the strength of all who believe in you, increase our faith and trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, that we may live victoriously now and forever. Amen. And let us pray for that hope which only God can give. Almighty God, give us such a vision of your purpose and such an assurance of your love and power that we may ever hold fast and hope which is in Jesus Christ. Amen. God of grace, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, who by his death has destroyed the power of death, and by his glorious resurrection has opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Grant us to know that because Christ lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life shall be able to separate us from your love. Amen. We now come to that part in the service where we would have these prayers at the crematorium chapel. And so we come to a very important part in our service, the commendation. And I read to you from Romans 8, verses 38 and 39. There is nothing in death or life, in the world as it is, or the world as it shall be. Nothing in all creation that can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. And that wonderful verse from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whose great mercy we have been born anew into a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. God alone is holy and just and good. In that confidence, therefore, we commend you, Rosemary, to God's judgment and mercy, to God's forgiveness and love. Blessed be God the Father, who has caused the light of Christ to shine upon you. Go forth from this world in the love of God the Father, who created you, in the mercy of Jesus Christ, who redeemed you, in the power of the Holy Spirit, who strengthened you, in communion with all the faithful. May you dwell this day in peace. Amen. I now pray the committal prayer. So let us pray. Now, therefore, Rosemary, we commit your body to be cremated, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, for they rest from their labours. We have been parted from Rosemary, but none of us need ever be separated from the love of God. Heavenly Father, you have given us a true faith and a sure hope in your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to live as those who believe and trust in the communion of saints. the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection to eternal life. Amen. We continue in prayer. Strengthen our faith and hope in Jesus Christ as long as we live, so that we in turn may not be afraid to die. You are Lord of heaven and earth. Your goodness never fails. Have mercy on your people who need your strength, and bless us now and evermore. Amen. Go forth into the world in peace. Be strong and of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Love and serve the Lord with singleness of heart, rejoicing in the power of his Holy Spirit. And the peace of the Lord be always with you. Amen. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen. We will now conclude our service by singing the second hymn that you have on your booklet, O Love That Will Not Let Me Go.